secretly loves throwing up. Bill never vomits at home. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up later on today, we got the final pair of tickets. Tim Conway, Harvey Korman tomorrow night at the Schnitzer. We gave away this is pretty cool, actually. I was over at the First Avenue building, which is where if you win anything, for like you ever win an onion book or tickets or whatever, you don't pick that up here at this building. And if you try to do it, Carol yells at you, and then she comes and yells at me. But you pick it up over at the First Avenue building, which is a KUFO is. And I was going over there yesterday for something, and I walked in just as the guy who won the front row backstage, blah, 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 was there. And, man, he was so happy. That guy was just, he was doing
cartwheels. Oh, good. He seemed really stoked about it.
Well, you know, because sometimes you give something away, and I mean, it's just somebody, I'd like a free thing. Really? Well, it's for Tim Conway, Harvey Korman. Are you interested?
Prize Pigs.
Yeah. Yes. And that is, by the way, that's a Thurman Radio. Now, we don't really use that here because we don't have them. Well, because A, we don't have Prize Pigs, which is what radio people do call you if you win a lot. And B, it's not that we don't have stuff to give away. I mean, because we do. To be fair, CBS, we have a lot more stuff to give away than we've ever had in the past. But we're not like a morning show, you know, where it's like...
We don't have, like, trip for two to the Bahamas.
Seriously. A trip a day in May as we attempt to callously buy your loyalty instead of simply having better programming. We don't do that. But, you know, when we get stuff to give away that's pretty cool, we do it. But you will get, and it's not really even here, it's other radio stations, like Z100 type stations that are, for, you know, like stations that target a bunch of, like, 17-year-olds and soccer moms. It's a lot of, like, the same people winning stuff all the time over and over and over again, and you'll hear these discussions in the promotions department about, like, you know, well, who won this? I don't know. It's some prize pig. His name is blah, blah, blah. And it's like some guy. And
it doesn't even matter about the station. Like, when I was working on 94.7, I remember, prize people from the other stations would come to our events to win the prizes. They would go to every single station, no matter, you know, what kind of frequency it was.
There are people out there, and they're not even really radio listeners, because they're not people who actually listen to the radio for it, you know, for the sake of entertainment. They're not necessarily even music people. They're not talk people. There are people out there, and that really is like their whole living. They make their living winning crap from radio stations, TV stations. These are people who cut out every coupon for every newspaper contest. Anyway, but I'm just saying, it's always really cool. You give something away, and somebody's really into it. I'm over at the other building. I walk in. This guy, Royal, he's like, hey, I won those tickets. I'm like, yeah, hey, you were on today. He's like, man, I'm such a huge fan of Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. I grew up on that show. I love Blazing Saddles. I love all the Dorth stuff. I can't wait to go. Guy was like over the moon, so it's very cool. So that's tomorrow. Tim Riley and I will be emceeing that. We got one more pair of tickets we'll do today. Ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime, in between time, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the South. And I always picture him with a mint julep in one hand, a cane in the other, wearing a white linen suit.
I picture him sitting in a rocking chair on a porch.
Fantastic. Just like Sir Richard Attenborough. And welcome to Jurassic Park, Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir.
Hello. If you sat out on the porch today, it freezes. You can't believe how cold it is here after those storms went through yesterday.
No, see, you're ruining our image. See, I always do picture you again. Just sitting there. Here's where I picture you. I picture you on the front porch of a three-pillar mansion, looking out over some stately estate in your palatial mansion. And again, just looking out, you've got a glass of iced tea in one hand, and you're wearing like a white starched fedora, and just taking in the good life. Yeah, that's how we always picture you.
In the South, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, what can you do?
So how's everything today?
Everything is fantastic, my friend. We've been talking about the PlayStation 3. Now, did they send you out to monitor a bunch of geeks who are waiting in line for this, or are you just observing this from afar? Hello.
We told you what we're going to do. We're going to go in the morning and do it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I'm sorry. That was like we lost you there for a second. All right.
The phones are great, aren't they?
Well, that's,
we'll have to do a better phone here.
No, it's cool. Because this comes out, and I think I may be wrong about this, is it Friday or Sunday that it comes out?
It comes out actually tonight at midnight in some places, but some stores are going to do the thing in the morning, and they have it where the number comes up, and you're, you know, guaranteed that you're going to be able to get it, so you'll be all set. And that's how this place is going to do it where I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to go to one of the big electronics stores tomorrow morning and for the rollout of this thing. And actually, they're going to have it all set up, so they're going to show me how it works. And, you know, we'll be getting a little sound of it playing and everything. It's really been delayed. Sony's had a lot of production problems with this thing.
Well, somebody told me, and I may be wrong about this, but somebody told me that they made like, I don't know, 500,000 or some of these, but that like each store is only getting like 14 of them or something. I mean, they're so spread thin that you're just
really, yeah, you're right. It is. And the problem with the whole thing is they had the rollout a week ago in Japan, and they only had 100,000. Well, they had thousands and thousands of people lining up for the PlayStation, and they're going to do the here, like you say, you know, 14 to a store. I mean, that's tough. And they got one guy camping out, and he says, you know, I've been off work for 3 days, he said, and I you know, I might lose my job, but it'll be worth it. You know, and I'm thinking, boy, I'll tell you what, you'll catch pneumonia, and you won't have any health insurance.
Seriously. And the fact those games cost like $80 a piece. So, I mean, good friend, good luck buying those on the, you know, on the unemployment, my friend. You can just,
that's right.
Play
them. A lot of people will be buying them on eBay, because these people that are going to buy them, the ones that are going to get lucky, they're going to put them up on eBay and charge like thousands of dollars, probably.
Well, this is my thing, and I have two questions about this. A, I mean, I know this sounds really, it makes me sound really naive, but I mean, what is the benefit to Sony to have such a limited supply of these? I mean, they've got all the buzz they need already. I mean, this seems like they're giving people a chance to, it seems like they're losing money by not having enough of these ready, but it seems like this is always the case. Every time a video game system comes out, not enough for the demand. So I just don't know why that is.
I know. It was the same thing last year. Xbox, I remember that. Well, that came out, but actually I think they worked that out, so they made out pretty well on that. But this thing, Sony is looking at projected losses at the end of the year, and you know, with the production problems they have, now Europe's not going to get this thing till next March.
Yeah, the whole thing is just perplexing. And then it's got, and this is the other thing I don't understand, and I do try to follow technology, I really do, but this, I guess it's like $400, $500, something like that, and you pay, there's an extra $100 you pay, and you get one that plays Blu-ray DVDs?
Yes, exactly. That's the one that's $600.
Here's
the other one is $500. It's Wi-Fi.
And see, and here's the thing that I don't really understand. I don't really understand what Blu-ray is and whether that's the same thing as, I mean, I guess the question is, am I going to have to, is there some new format coming where I'm going to have to sell all my DVDs and buy everything I own again in some different format?
You know, it keeps changing all the time. You never know.
I mean, I just that's kind of what it feels like to me. It feels like they're gearing up to take about $1,000 out of my pocket by making me restock my entire DVD collection, which I am not going to. If I have to buy one more version of Terminator 2 and McCarthy, there's going to be a revolution. There's skulls are going to crack if I have to do that.
Hey, listen, speaking of Terminator, did you talk to Roop today at all?
He's coming up at 2 o'clock. We're going to talk to him.
You got to ask him. Apparently, they had a fist fight or something where he was out while they were lined up for the PlayStation.
Really? Oh, that's. I think we have some story about that. Nerds Gone Wild. It was some. It was a bunch of geeks line, and and it was some. You know, Picard. You know, the Kirk. Picard. Kirk. Picard. Kirk. And then it was just fisticuffs. So there you go.
They went nuts. He'll tell you all about it.
Fantastic, my friend. Hey, and real quickly, I know they got you talking about this. I didn't even notice this until just a while ago. Today is what? It's the 30th anniversary of the smoke-off, smoke-out, whatever it is?
Great American Smoke-Out.
Is that? I guess a smoke-off would be different.
Smoke-off would be the contest.
Yes, I just say smoke-off would be one of those. If you can finish this entire pack in 30 seconds, these Britney Spears tickets are yours.
Smoke-off would be Jim Leland of the Tigers, because he said during the rain delays he smoked a carton. So.
Fantastic. Well done, my friend. All right. Well, we will. I'll check in with Roop later on to see what the nerd fight was all about. Until then,
if there was any blood, I want to know if there was any blood involved.
I don't think I think when you're talking nerds, I think it's a lot of slapping. That's my thing. I think it's a lot of slapping. Someone cries, goes home to mom, and then the rest of them just sit around and eat Cheetos and grow fatter. That would be my guess, Ed McCarthy. But I don't really know. You should look into it.
And the ones that cry don't get the PlayStation.
No, there's no crying in line. No, there is not. All right, thank you, my friend. Enjoy the South. I hope the weather improves for you soon. We will talk to you in the very near future, my friend.
Take care, Rick. Bye-bye.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. There you go.
Ed seems to be getting slowly, like, replacing Gary Baumgarten, being more and more angry.
Yeah, he's just, I don't understand with these video
games. I don't think
games.
He could be madder about the weather.
No, it's
I'm
true.
I'm not thinking it's possible.
No, and that's, you know, and I'm with you, though. Like, I just picture him just being some, like, distinguished Southern guy, but then you look at him, and he looks just like, if you all Animal House fans out there, if you know the character of D-Day, he looks just like an older version of that guy. What the hell is his name? Not M. Emmett Walsh. It's, bam, bam, bam. Nah, I've lost it. But he looks just like that guy. There you go. It's fascinating. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Scott, I love when Scotty does it. He just vanishes and he types back later on the screen. Back in 5 minutes. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Yeah, hi. Hi. I just wanted to say that Sony's having production problems with the diode that reads the Blu-ray, and it's cost them a little over $800 to manufacture. So they're actually losing money.
See, here's what I don't understand about this. Is that, see, because it's not just the PlayStation 3. Is that every time a video game system comes out, there's never enough of them. And that doesn't make any sense to me. Because, look, there's only one of two scenarios. A, they just are idiots and never learn. They don't understand that it's a really popular system, so they just never make enough for whatever reason. Or B, they're intentionally making them, you know, under manufacturing, so there just aren't enough of them, and that doesn't make any sense to me either, because it doesn't seem likely that they're not making any more money. So when somebody sells one of those boxes for $3,000 on eBay, Sony's not getting any of that money.
Well, they're also getting licensing, and they're selling the peripherals and whatnot. But the problem is, this is the part I don't understand. Supposedly, Sony worked all this out like back in April. So, you know, they've had months and months to get all this figured out, but some people are still saying, well, you know, I can still get a Blu-ray player, and it's still cheaper. I mean, this PS3 is still cheaper than what I could get a dedicated Blu-ray player for.
Right, right.
So some people are still justifying it, but
yeah, I don't
get it.
I don't either. And again, I'm not really in a position to weigh in about the PlayStation because I have an Xbox. I'm an Xbox guy. But even I don't have the Xbox 360 at this point. There's just no reason. I mean, it's just like I've seen the Xbox 360, and it seems like a few tweaks aside, it's like the graphics and the tech. It doesn't seem like the technology is that big of a leap. I mean, it's better, but it doesn't really seem like it's that huge of a leap. And it doesn't seem like there's any reason for me to do it until the definitive Xbox 360 game comes out, which I think is probably Halo 3. So I don't have to worry about that for now.
But you got to remember this. IBM, which was developing the Cell processor, didn't have enough money to pursue the R&D. The only other company that had as deep a pocket as IBM and was as committed was Sony. Had IBM decided to go into the R&D all by itself, it probably would have bankrupted them.
Well, I mean, imagine how many stories in the past, and this is, and all the geeks in the audience know this, imagine how many stories in the history of computing and technology begin with the phrase, if only IBM had, you know, if IBM had just decided to ... And it's like one out of every three great computer stories starts that way, so.
Yeah, but when you talk about $1 billion into R&D, it's no wonder that Sony's taken a bath at least a good first year.
What can you do? All right, thank you, sir.
All right,
there you go. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'll tell you what.
Who's on the hotline?
It's Mailman Chris calling in. Well, and of course, you know, all the geeks are weighing in about the Blu-ray technology, which is great. So I'll tell you what. Hang on. Sarah, I'm going to go. I'll play us in the break here. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll get these calls about Blu-ray technology. And then Tim Riley rejoins us from the Ministry of Truth at the bottom of the hour. Here's what's coming up later on. We have the final pair of tickets to Tim Conway and Harvey Korman tomorrow night at the Schnitzer. That is emceed by Tim Riley and myself. We got the Onion Weekly Radio News address from George W. Bush. And later on, we have today's high concept topic plus the worst story ever. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program.
They're gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books to make a citizen out of you. Because they sleep with a gun and keep an eye on you, son, so they can watch all the things you do. Because the drugs...
Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. In just a moment, we'll be rejoined by Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. We got another pair of tickets to Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, a final pair that we're going to be giving away today. That is today. The show is tomorrow, I think 7 p.m. I'm not sure if tickets, it may in fact be sold out. I'm not sure. You want to go to, I think it's houseofblues.com or HOB.com. That's tomorrow. And Tim Riley and I will be emceeing that. It's all very exciting. So we'll do that today. We'll give away the final pair. We'll do the final pop culture face-off. Talk about Blu-ray versus, and the only reason, because I just want to know. Because I'm unclear about whether that's... I remember this whole... I am old enough to remember the big Betamax versus VHS war of whatever the hell that was, like 83, 82, something like that. So, man, if I just end up with the whole fistful of, like, coasters, I'm going to be really upset about it. Oh, we got that news that hurts. Jim Rupert's going to come up later on, talk about O.J. Simpson and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, Barat is back in the news. Sacha Baron Cohen is his real name. He is a devout Jew who keeps kosher and Sabbath when possible. Says he purposely made his character prejudice. He says, quote, Barat essentially works as a tool, unquote.
Huh. Fantastic.
By himself being anti-Semitic, he lets people lower their guard and expose their own prejudice, whether it's anti-Semitic or any acceptance of anti-Semitism. Cohen says he doesn't like to discuss how he got people to appear on camera or take seriously Barat's preposterous questions. Revealing his tactics, he said, would be a disaster and terrible for me.
Here's the thing, is that now, because this is the first interview, and this is in Rolling Stone, I think. This is what you're talking about. This comes out of the new Rolling Stone, because... Mm-hmm. In the new issue of Rolling Stone, which I don't think I have yet, he does what I believe is his first ever interview about Borat out of character. Because I think all of his... And that guy, Don and Mike were talking about this the other night. That press tour that guy has done has been really amazing. Because he's done a whole series of press engagements and PR appearances where he is in the Borat character. Which typically I don't care for it. See, the great thing about him is it really is telling how great he is and how funny he is. That he actually makes a few things that I don't really care for palatable to me. One, I don't care for people who are interviewed in character, which is why you'll notice that we never do that on the show. That we never have, very rarely do we have on comedians or comics of any stripe. And this is why, God love him and his success, but this is why we don't ever interview that famous mysterious actor guy, because I know that he doesn't do interviews out of... I remember the one time I got ambushed into talking to that guy on the phone, and I just wanted to shoot myself in the head. It was the longest...
He's really funny, though.
He's a funny guy.
I can't talk about the guy underneath the mask, but the guy himself who plays...
I don't care. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to disrespect his character. That's it, because nobody knows who he is. So,
All right.
But he's a really nice guy, too. We should have him on normally.
Well, but see, I don't think that's the thing. I don't think he does that. See, I would do that. I would have, it's like when Craig Gass, we had that guy on last week, and he was called up as Sam Kinison, and then we talked to the man behind the voice, which is good. That famous mysterious actor guy is really funny. When you're sitting there on stage watching, I don't care for his supporting cast, but I mean, he himself is a funny guy. But I have no interest in conducting an interview with a character. That's why, as funny as Stephen Colbert is, I can't really watch the Colbert Report all that much. I can watch The Daily Show, but watching the Colbert Show is difficult for me because I find it really uncomfortable to watch people being interviewed in a character. Sacha Baron Cohen, though, is funny enough that he makes it work. And I also don't really care for ambush comedy, by which I mean... Someone comes into an interview thinking that they are being interviewed for one thing, and in reality, it's all a joke on them, and they don't know it, and they're being interviewed for something else. And I typically don't find that, because to me, that's a real low form of comedy. It's not like I find it immoral or something. To me, that's typically it's hack work. That is like the cheapest, hackiest way to get a laugh, in my experience, is that you tell somebody they're being interviewed for something, but in reality, you know, it's something completely different. He, though, manages to make it good. And so I saw Borat last night. And I won't give anything away, but goddamn.
Yeah, don't talk about it too much.
I'm not. I just... Woman, you always say this, and then I always
No, because
have to
you
say,
get too excited, and then you're telling... Because you've already given, like, this huge thing where the scene builds, and you don't think it's going to go any farther, and it does. So now I know that's what happens, so you already ruined that for me.
You already know... Well, you already know...
I don't know anything about... No, I don't know anything about
this. You don't know anything about what happens. You won't be able to spot it. You won't... You'll have no idea. Even me saying this, you won't know it. That's like me saying, and then a thing happens, and it's great. I mean, you do. I mean, it's still going to be. It will not. I have not done anything to diminish the humor of it. But I don't think it's the great. I don't think it's the funniest movie ever. Don Geronimo said it was the funniest movie that he'd ever seen, and I probably not. But goddamn, there are moments there, and I won't give anything away. But there's a rodeo sequence that's pretty. It's pretty damn amusing. That's all I'm going to say. And that movie must have cost like $1.50 to make. I can't even imagine how little. Really, flying to Romania to shoot that thing in the Romanian village, the plane ticket to Romania must have been the most expensive thing. That's it. Done. I mean, I can't. That movie was done so cheaply, I can't even fathom. The profit margin has got to be insane. So I saw it last night. I'm glad I did. I'll see it again at some point when it's a little less crowded in the theater. Here's Tim Riley.
Clear Channel Communications is entering into a merger agreement. Under the terms of the deal with a group led by Thomas H. Lee Partners, Bain Capital Partners, and LLC, the group will acquire Clear Channel assets totaling close to $27 billion. Clear Channel has also announced plans to sell 448 of its smaller market radio stations, as well as the company's 42-station television group. 90 radio station groups, 90 radio station markets, rather, will be affected by the sale, and that's that.
And what is it? So they're being sold to who? Just some guy? Some company?
Some group.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever
they are. It doesn't matter.
No,
they're not going to hire us anyway.
No. Truck spilled 2 tons of pig's heads on the road in western Germany, giving passing drivers a shock on the night before Halloween. It happened when the truck turned up a highway in Herne, in the Ruhr region of Germany. As the driver accelerated away from his traffic light, the door of his trailer opened, spilling the severed heads onto the road.
Oh, wait, hold on, I'm writing that down. Spilling the severed heads onto the road. Okay.
It took the fire service, helped by a forklift truck, an hour and a half to load the heads back onto the truck.
Onto the road. Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
On the road. And one more here. A woman has put her eggs for sale on the internet to pay off close to $30,000 in credit card debts. Alexandria Saunders posted her details on a website after reading about the huge amount that can be made in a women's magazine. She's 26-year-old. She already had 3 jobs to pay off debts, although she thought it would be an easy way to make money. It is illegal for a woman to sell her eggs within the U.K., but egg donation is big business in the U.S., while childless couples pay up to $40,000 in exchange for eggs of a healthy, beautiful woman.
See, now, I don't understand why.
Is she beautiful?
Is she?
Oh, well.
Well, where does she live? In the U.K.?
Well,
that's a relative.
Like, there, can I say really
she's okay.
Ravishing beauties in the U.K.
She has a big head.
The, look, those ears.
You have some sturdy bone structure if you buy those.
Sturdy. I wish to have a sturdy wife. You look a sturdy. Man, those ears are no walk in the park either. All right. I don't understand. Yeah, I got to turn this over. I don't understand why everybody doesn't sell their eggs. Really, you could make, I mean, you can make like 10 grand an egg, can't you?
No, because then it's going to want to know where it came from, and it'll be like, who's my mommy?
Well, then, I mean, is that the only reason you don't do it?
Yeah, because that's a form of parenting. No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, but
because
I mean,
then I know there was a little something.
But what if you knew that the child would never find you?
Oh.
What if you knew that it was complete?
Because then it might kick in some weird maternal thing in me, and then I might want to find it. No, I could not do it.
Like I said, Horton Hears a Who or whatever, you'd want to track it down or whatever the hell that book is.
Well, because that's the only reason people want to have children. Well, a lot of people, if they want to see what a little them will look like.
That really is true.
It's totally the selfish way that, reason.
So what if, because, I mean, there's a long list of things that I don't understand why women don't do this. I mean, it's like, I've always made the joke, if I was a hot chick, I would just be stripping right now. I would be out there on a pole at this very moment, and I would just do it. I would do it constantly, over and over and over again.
I think I see a storm large in the hall.
And then I would. Oh, hello. Speaking of the pole, fantastic. No, it's a double with the
pole.
It's a double entendre. Pole.
Hello, storm.
Never mind. All right.
Oh.
Hey, storm large. Do we have some sort of an opening for storm?
I have the old Rockstar Supernova thing. That's about it.
Hold on. I have something.
Storms bring a rash on her neck.
Okay. Wait, hold on. I think I have, wait. No. This is exciting.
Come on. You can find something.
Hold on.
We were a lesbian couple.
There we go. Fantastic.
Yeah, wow.
Wait.
Okay. I'd rather be a whore than a patty cake.
Okay, there we go.
Was that the whore than a patty cake?
And finally?
I smelled my hand and I made everyone else smell my hand. What is wrong with
That's
you?
That's awesome.
We were a lesbian couple. I don't like you. I don't want to spend the whole night fucking... I want to get laid tonight. I so don't like you.
You know what it is? It's like a Sarah Dillon... what are those things not to speak and spell? What are those things? It's like the circle, and you put the cow says.
The cow says.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sarah
says. Sarah Dillon.
Bloody and I'm gonna get laid tonight.
It's fantastic. Excellent. There you go.
Those are so out of context. I accidentally say I'm gay all the time.
I don't know. It makes me feel really welcome.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
It's a great welcoming thing.
I'm glad you feel welcome.
All right. Storm Lodge, how are you, sister? What brings you by?
I was in the neighborhood and...
Davey came by on Monday.
I know. He was in, he was in court.
As a juror, by the way. Which is not as the defendant in any way.
No, he didn't hit me. I just fell.
It's because he loves you.
I fell because I just don't know how to listen.
Ike wants you to have some cake, Tina!
No, he was in jury duty. He stopped by, and I was in the neighborhood and wanted to stop by and say hello.
Yeah.
I haven't been here in a long time. So.
No, and here we are in the tiny broadcasting closet of CBS Radio. So.
More things on the walls.
More things on the walls? Oh, lovely, lovely. Yeah. There I am. Look at me.
By the way, you will note that because we were professional, we never did call out the Oregonian on having a storm watch, which we did like weeks and weeks and weeks before
those guys. Everybody did that.
I'm just saying, if I were a lesser person, I would have complained loudly.
I think Dave Navarro was saying it too. Is storm watch 2006 or something like that? Yeah, that was.
Hey, so real quickly, speaking of Dave Navarro, somebody asked me, and I don't know, because Davey had given me a copy of it beforehand, so I don't know the answer to this. Somebody had asked if that Ladylike with Dave Navarro was on iTunes.
Yes,
if that's the way to get it.
It is on iTunes. It's on, apparently, 19 digital outlets, and I don't know what the other... I know there's iRiver, iTunes, and I don't know of any other, but there's supposedly 19 out there, and you can get them on all 19.
Excellent.
But it's out there. It's doing very well. It's very exciting indeed.
All right, Storm Lodge, worst smell on earth?
Worst?
We are on the radio, of course, but first thing that comes, I don't want you to be like, because I can look inside that head of yours and see any number of things we can't say.
Even with a hat on. Okay, worst smell.
Get the dump button ready.
God.
My hand is over the delay.
Well, so far we have, I have the tomato juice, I have like the tomato soup and vomit smell right when you pass Dino's when you're going up Hawthorne.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
That's a really bad one. And what was yours, Rick?
Well, no, there's two things. And I hadn't thought about that until you had mentioned it. Is that Sarah and I take the same bicycle path to work, and it's like a Dairy Gold factory. And it's, I forget, I don't even know what the street is. But you called it a vomity what smell?
Like applesauce
smell. A vomity applesauce smell? For me, it's more like...
There's
no reflection on Dairy Gold and their products, by the way. I'm sure that this is not because here's the thing. Okay, it's not just the Dairy Gold factory. There's a Dairy Gold factory, and then there's like a packing station for Chinese food there.
No, and Nate told me that he thinks that they do
eat
some
dogs.
Of the cow killing down there.
The cow killing.
Oh, Couchbits.
Yeah,
Couchbits at the Harris Ranch on the I-5. That's pretty bad. Have you ever gone?
Is it a rendering plant?
No, it's a stockade. Have you ever driven from San Francisco to Los Angeles on the 5?
No.
Well, anybody who's ever been in a van on tour knows that they need to ride around Coalinga, roll up the windows pretty tight, maybe burn some incense because it is. We call it Couchbits because they're all on top of each other, standing in their own filth, and there's
just
steam
like
coming off.
Like they're in one of those Russian baths.
Oh, so disgusting. Oh. That's a horrible smell. It's kind of like fruity butt smell. Like someone,
fruit smell mixed with like vomit or garbage or anything. It's
vomit,
so wrong.
Yeah, vomit is really bad. Any kind of eggy, milky, fruity.
We are out of the lunch hour, by the way, you bastard, so you
That's
can just
awesome.
Take this.
You started it, Rick.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, people come. We made a guy vomit
worst
earlier.
Worst smell ever.
We'll
do it with the grape furball and the milk story.
The gray furball in the milk.
I get a lot of flack because, and I don't do it intentionally, but there's horrible subjects like this always seem to come up during the news hour. And it is just happenstance. It's not by any design. But is Sarah... I don't even remember how we got into the subject. We were talking about rotten milk. And then Sarah's like, I was doing it some milk one time and there was a gray squishy furball inside of it.
Oh!
And then it was like, what?
And I had already drank half the glass.
At that point, when you've already put half of it down, that's the worst.
That reminds me of a story I heard about a guy who was making protein shakes all the time, and he had all this...
Is that code for something?
No, powder. Like, you know, you get the weight gainer powder and the eggs and do the rock thing.
Yeah.
And he apparently didn't notice that a mouse got into his wheat germ or whatever. And so
Oh, no. Wait, it doesn't involve a blender, does it?
No, it's the post-blender. Apparently, he had already blended everything, but this mouse got into his smoothie, and you're at the end of the smoothie, and you're kind of tapping the glass.
Oh!
No! Bam!
Oh. Nice soggy banana mouse.
Oh, that's
I'm going to write that down, too.
Soggy Banana Mouse?
Soggy Banana Mouse.
That's my side.
What was that?
That's my stripper name. Here's and on the main stage, please welcome Soggy Banana Mouse.
Lately, we've developed a whole bunch of phrases on this program.
A lot of them have banana in them.
That mean nothing.
Oh, the Wichita banana.
Wenatchee banana. A phrase that, by the way, means nothing, but sounds like it ought to mean something.
Oh, yeah.
We have Wenatchee banana, and then we had this weather condition they have called the Pineapple Express.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I'm not a big fan of that one. That sounds like funny.
To me, Pineapple Express sounds like you're humping a big Samoan. Ooh, that's what it sounds like.
Pineapple Express.
No, you know what I mean? It's like a Polynesian.
I don't think you're allowed to say that.
Why?
Why not?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Their people, do they not have needs?
They need. Sorry.
Do the Samoans among us not also need the human touch, Sarah?
Are you looking to ride the Pineapple Express, Rick?
Oh. There was once a large Samoan named Fau Fau Napoleon, which there is a legendary tales about from my father involving not pineapples, but, well, maybe when we're off the air.
Moving forward.
Yes.
So, anywho, and then we ended up, and we got into this story about the fur ball in Sarah's milk, and it's like an awful, horrible, in hell variation of that. Your chocolate is in my peanut butter, but it was like a your dead rat is in my sandwich.
Oh.
And let's see, and we got this. Rick, there's some guy that brings deli fresh sandwiches and food to my place of employment. I have purchased food there twice.
Uh-oh.
The first time I got a tuna sandwich, two bites in, my front teeth crunched down on what was clearly a thick hair. I pulled it out of my mouth. It was dark, thick, and more than a little curly.
Oh.
The second time, I bought a salad. Halfway through, I again found a thick and more than a little curly hair on the food. It is now all I can do to not drop kick the guy in the face every time I see him bringing his hair infested food to sell to the moronic idiots I work with. I have told all of my coworkers on numerous occasions his food is infested with short and curly hair. Strangely, they do not seem to mind. All right.
I'm so happy I forgot lunch today.
How about this one? We are also talking about the phenomenon that parents have of never believing you when you say you don't want to eat something, or when something is vile or something is making you wretch, and your parents never, you'll learn to like it. Keep eating.
Yeah. When they boil the Brussels sprouts so they turn into like a green foam.
And the parents, man, there's no food that my parents didn't enjoy overcooking until it was just a gelatinous goo.
Yeah.
How about this, Rick? When I was 5 or 6 years old, my folks told me to eat the to eat the beans in front of me. I don't like them. They make me feel funny, I said. That was the wrong answer on my part. I ate them, trying to swallow as much as possible without chewing. That didn't last long, because soon I was barking at my shoes.
Oh.
Rick, you don't know what it feels like to have beans come out your nose. It's not something you want to do. And the final email about this, and then we'll move on.
No, we won't.
Read what the people give me. This is the one that I was trying to find. Rick, you remember it was the lunch hour, so thanks to the milk stories, you made me lose all of my Taco Bell that I just consumed. By the way, thanks. So there you go. So we did actually make somebody hurl. So there you go.
Well, you know, Taco Bell can maybe do that on its own volition as well.
Except for their 7-layer supreme wrap. Hot thingy.
Who's the fast food place that has that? I saw a commercial for it. I thought it could not possibly be real. It's a bucket. Must be the chicken place.
Oh, KFC.
The fried nuggets, the mashed potatoes, corn, gravy, and melted cheese all over it. In a bucket.
In a bucket?
Well, in America, though, you can take, I forgot who it was who said this, you can take two things that have never been fastened together before, fasten them together, and there will be a market for that product.
Good God.
What is this? Well, it's a crescent wrench with a popsicle on the side. And there'll be some guy like, well, I've needed this. I need icy refreshment while I'm putting in a new shower head. And that's so it is with the bowl of, you know, whatever it is, the bowl of stuff for you, whatever.
It just sounds like for the faction of people who have to wash themselves with a rag on a stick. You know, it's just not appropriate for this day and age where obesity is killing everybody.
Why am I so fat? Maybe I gotta get my stomach stapled.
It's like, no, maybe you should have a salad and go for a walk. Don't eat the bucket of fried chicken, potatoes, corn, gravy, and melted cheese.
They need energy for finding those difficult to reach folds.
So is it really a...
You know what I'm talking about.
Well, I know what you're talking about.
We had this story a couple weeks ago.
In between the folds?
In between the cheese of the fold cheese. Oh, yes.
Oh.
Writing down all the phrases today.
Oh, jeez.
What was that phrase?
I'm losing control of my limbs. I'm so gross.
What was that?
I don't know. I'm getting all turned on and tingly.
Oh, jeez. Say it slow.
I want to get laid tonight.
What was this? What was that phrase we had earlier? That guy. What was that woman's name? It was like Alicia or whatever the hell her name was. Suddenly, Alicia had something warm and mushy in her mouth.
Oh!
I was talking about. I didn't want to repeat the story.
No, I can't remember it.
There was a story we had from Brooklyn. I don't know, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. Some woman, she goes into the hospital to get whatever, the checkup or whatever it is. People who weigh 900 pounds do. And they rolled her on in there, you know, gloop style. And then the guy, you know, she's like, I have a stabbing pain. I can't seem to figure out where it's coming from. And the doctor, you know, and it's sort of like opening a fleshy clam. Doctor just looking for one fold after another on the stomach. And right here on her stomach, she had a stomach fold. And he reaches in, and I swear to God, we had the story. It was a remote control that had just gotten lost somewhere in there. And so, here's your problem right here.
Did the skin start to grow around it?
Well, do you remember? No.
Ew.
Here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
See, once you put us on this particular freight train, it's like, I can go on this all day because the audience is strangely fascinated by these stories.
I think everyone is, and they just don't want to say
that,
it.
No, anytime we have stories about horrifically fat people, vile things you found in your food, things that smell bad, or a time that you accidentally burned your testicles in a wood stove. We had a guy took a staple gun accidentally to his junk one time, and it just triggered an hour's worth of calls about it. This one time I was using a hydraulic nail gun. Now, I was nude.
Come on.
No.
I've heard of really great burn stories. That's people, like, coming up with interesting ways to like, young boys.
To pleasure oneself.
And one of the common great...
Be circumspect here.
Yes. One of the great ideas someone came up with was putting a melon in a microwave. And
seems burning.
What?
Yeah, well, what little kids didn't seem to... What the youngster didn't seem to realize was that when you heat up a melon... To the point where it's warm on the outside, it's molten burning on the inside.
It's like having sex with Vesuvius.
Pretty much.
So the melon and then
he had to...
You take out a portion of the melon?
Why are my pants filled with ash?
How do you explain that to your
mom? A melon?
No, this guy...
A honeydew melon. I don't know. He never did it again. It bit him pretty hard, I guess.
Was this Davey?
No.
Let me just...
He's an old-fashioned man.
He
doesn't go the way of the fruit.
I've talked about this in the past, though, that if you are a woman, you need to know this. And I'm not saying that this doesn't happen with women, too. But I'm saying I can only speak from the male perspective.
I know what you're going to say.
Really, when I just say, like, conjure up in your head an inanimate object. Mm-hmm. Any noun. And the odds are about 1 in 3 that at one point the man you currently call lover...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you flash back to him, 14 years old.
Yeah,
you know, so dad can't find the you know, the tennis racket and a vice or something, and it's like there's you know, why are you running the water so low? I'm doing my hair.
Yeah,
you know, it's true. Alice Cooper tells a story about the I'll move on about that real quickly. The story about the fold and the woman and the hay with my remote. Okay. You had mentioned growing up. We had I think it was. Recent enough that you were on the show, I think it's when we were at Entercom, there was a story with accompanying photographs about a woman who had not gotten off one of those stories. And they're all
in New York. I remember this story.
She hadn't gotten off the sofa for like 2.5 years.
It was a leather sofa?
God.
Yeah.
No.
And
we're all
she
getting
was
getting up and adjusting her clothing.
It was one of those great stories where they tried taking the door off the hinges. That didn't work, and they actually had to cut just a huge cave
like
opening in front of the totally
yeah.
exactly.
Aww.
And it was one of those where she hadn't gone to, like, she had to make that phone call. I can't come into work. No, I'm too fat. No, I can't. I tried to get out the door, and that's a no-go. Can you? I'm going to telecommute today. Anyway, and so, but she okay, and so she dies finally.
Oh.
Go figure.
Yeah, right.
And they come in, and then and this. Oh God! And it was like,
okay,
and
why,
she had a
why,
husband,
why,
and the husband.
Why?
The husband calls the fire department, and he's sort of like, you know, you need to come from my
wife.
Was he
trapped in her fold?
No.
Please, my wife has finally died, and now I'm free.
No, but
I didn't think that she had a husband. I thought she was just sitting there all alone.
Maybe.
Rotting. No, I think she was left there for a little while.
Was she still alive? I can't remember.
No,
all I remember is this.
Ugh.
Well, all I remember is...
No, if you don't remember, she was on her couch. She didn't move. She died. Nobody noticed that she was not leaving the house.
What's that noise? Oh, it's the bar dropping.
Yes. And Anyway, and so she, they try, you know, they're like, well, let's get her on several stretchers, and then, you know, they're going to pick her up.
They could get the harness like Shamu.
And she and the sofa had become one.
No,
it's true. Sarah remembers
the
story.
I remember they couldn't get her off the sofa. She was, like, she had grown into the sofa.
Where was this?
New York. They're all in New York, baby.
No,
all
they're
of these
in Florida,
stories.
Too. No, they're Florida.
They had to cut out of the couch.
Florida, you got the humidity, too. That's no walk in
the
park.
Well, that makes them all extra puffy and sticky. Okay, we all need a good bath.
Is it unpleasant for women to get up if you're nude on a vinyl couch on a hot summer day? Is that unpleasant for you too, or is it just for
we
men?
We have skin too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
I know you have skin.
What's the? Yeah. Yeah, no, I've never really tried it. Have you?
No, I don't have any.
Women have skin too. Is that like a Dr. Phil lesson? Women have skin too.
Does he sing?
No. Let me read this. Rick. Oh, this is a question for Storm. Rick, I'm not much into music these days, as evidenced by the fact that I listen to nothing but talk radio. God bless you, sir.
Yay.
I don't even remember the last CD I bought. However, Storm's Ladylike has rekindled something in my brain. I will literally just play it over and over again at full volume, and it's probably terrifying to see the waspiest wasp who has ever wasped. living and Tigered singing at the top of his lungs to the R-rated version.
Nice.
It's a great song, a classic, and I don't say that lightly. Just wanted to say thanks to Storm and the Balls for injecting some musical passion into my life that I haven't had in years. Aww. So there you go.
You're welcome.
That's like those emails that you see to porn stars about, like, you have rekindled.
I know.
I never thought that we would love with the spark we once had again. But Jenna Jameson, your videos have rekindled the passion in my relationship. I find my corpulent wife as attractive as ever I did.
Storm, I was so cool. I was looking for pictures for my website the other day, and I saw you on a bunch of paparazzi websites.
Oh, yeah.
For like Dave Navarro's party, and then you dressed as a man. And...
Yeah. And then they were trying to angle that I was still sleeping with Dave Navarro or some kind of, that I don't know. It's just like,
I caught that. That was really weird.
It was really weird. It's like, I'm like, can I sleep with somebody else? I mean, I love Dave, but by all accounts of all of the tabloids, we've been having like a relationship for probably more than a month, and that's...
How about the Tommy Lee thing? They were going that pretty well.
Oh, man,
really?
She said photograph
Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee, mm-hmm. and Lucas macking on each other.
Oh, that's just them having fun. I'm serious. They're not.
Okay,
I guarantee no penetrative anything other than.
Oh no, I'm not thinking the gay.
Well, I do have to agree. You say that's just them having fun. Look, I know a lot of ways to have fun. At no point does Scotty and I just.
No, but
I got a few seconds.
No, but
what are you
that's
doing?
Tommy and Lucas. Tommy and Lucas are like that, and they're big physical boys, and they're really fun and very sexual in that way. And they don't care. They don't care what it looks like. They're just. They're rockers, man. They don't care.
It is true. Well, there are guys, and again, it's not that I have any problem with it. I do get the feeling Mick Jagger's and Prince. Mick Jagger
David Bowie.
And David Bowie, where it's like you get the feeling they, you know, no women around? Well, do you
David
have
David Bowie and Iggy Pop.
Do you have a brother? No?
Yeah.
How about this chair? You know, and it's just mm-hmm. like whatever, you know, go to bed with a, you know, with a guava.
Yeah, there was a time when you were an actor, you know, you had to like marry, if you were gay, you had to marry a woman, she was your beard. Am I not supposed to say?
Oh, no.
No, we were just talking about that.
Did you hear that story that we had yesterday about Jimmy Stewart?
No.
Oh, no. No, it's a great story. Let me find it.
No,
it's Gene. No, you got to hear it.
Well,
no,
it doesn't matter. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. You'll find the story. But actors, it's still kind of not cool for actors to be gay. But musicians always have been androgynous and been heavily encouraged to be sexual in ways that the common populace are not encouraged to be.
No, it's true.
We've got to be the scumbags that people live vicariously through.
All right, hold on. Let me read this story here. This is from the Independent UK, but I've seen this on several sites, so I know that. And this is, I guess, from an upcoming biography of him. Let's see. This is the Jimmy Stewart. Here we go. Root around the history of Hollywood. You won't find too many stars with a cleaner, more wholesome reputation than Jimmy Stewart. But blah, 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 blah. Mark Elliott, author of a previously acclaimed biography of Cary Grant, says the notoriously tyrannical MGM boss, Louis B. Mayer, was so concerned about the young Stewart's apparent lack of interest in the ladies, he forced him to visit a brothel so people wouldn't start gossiping that he was gay. And I don't have the full story that we read yesterday, but it does recite this great conversation. Now, what I want you to do, because people can't go thinking you're a homo, now you need to go to the brothel. And he actually said... Because Jimmy Stewart's like, no, but Mr. Mayor, I don't...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't fancy the ladies that way, and I don't wish to, you know, and he said, you need to go over, get your rocks off, 2-3 women, come back, you give me the details, then you'll be a star. And then it's like, and it's like you don't want to picture it in your head. Suddenly you've, well, I have a little bit of a rage around, you know, and just a whole, like, you don't want to, you know, I.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean he was, not that there's anything wrong if Jimmy Stewart was gay, there's nothing wrong with that, but that was the era where it was completely taboo. It was just not, there's a great movie, I think it was called Out of the Closet or something.
The Celluloid Closet. The Celluloid. That's a great documentary.
That's a great documentary, and it was, and people have been totally stigmatized. Where I stayed in that mansion, it was haunted by the, you know, this woman supposedly who married this man, and she was ultimately his beard because he was gay, and it was completely not acceptable. And there's all kinds of marriages arranged like that still to this day, I think.
Well, and Sarah said that you think they're already married. You think that the Katie Holmes and Tucker's already got married today.
I do, because I was reading a report that they were at City Hall in Rome today. Which means they probably already signed the marriage license, which means it probably already, it's done.
And the weird thing is,
she's already been the chip has been put into her skin.
You see her now, and she's like some faded, sun-bleached version of herself, because you've watched like Pieces of April, or Go, or just like any of those.
Or, come on, or even Dawson's Creek.
Even Dawson's Creek.
She was the main character, and then she was a saucy little thing.
She just seems like a different person now, altogether.
Well, it's a huge, I mean, besides Tom Cruise being such a huge mega star, there's just so much attached to him beyond his, I mean, let's be plain here. He's a really good actor. He's done a lot of great stuff. So his fame is earned, you know, officially, but, you know, there's a lot of crap that comes with Tom Cruise.
And he looks, I don't think I'm projecting or viewing him through some prism. I mean, maybe a little bit. But he looks flat-out screaming Hitler Youth crazy when I see him now.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the sunglasses and the fact that every time they snap a photo of him, it's like his mouth is open like he's trying to unhinge it to eat a guinea pig.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's take this call real quick, and then we'll do a thing and then so forth. Hello, DJ. What's up, brother?
Yes, sir. I got a worst smell story ever.
Okay.
I hesitated, thinking it might be too gross, but I realized it's not possible on the show.
Thank you.
I drive truck for a living.
Okay. Like
about 6-8 years ago, there's a scale house northbound I-5 just before you get into Seattle.
Right. It's
on the uphill side of it, of the freeway. A truck in front of me, it's got a 40-foot trailer with 4-foot steel sides and end dump. He's hauling rendering material.
This is like
the consistency of runny oatmeal.
I
don't know if he actually rear-ended the truck in front of him going into that scale, or if he just slammed on his brakes hard enough that the wave on that 40-foot trailer comes forward, shot up over the top of the trailer and over the top of the truck. It's an open top trailer.
Oh, good Lord.
And coated 3 lanes of freeway 4 inches thick with this stuff.
Yeah, that's good God. And not enough scrubbing bubbles in the world for that, my friend.
I have no idea what they did to clean it up. There's a hillside beside the freeway, and all the cops and anybody without investigating it, they were all up like 300 feet away from it. Just looking down and talking about it and not. Had no idea what to do.
Much like that story we had the other day about the family in an SUV with the sunroof open and all the windows down, and they're following a bus, and the bus loses the load from the latrine.
And the way home from Mother's Day dinner.
Yeah, and it was a lot of despite repeated power washing, the smell of feces could not be removed from her hair.
You know what? That reminds me of another really worst smell ever story, and then we can move on. Are you done, caller?
No, I see some.
When I was a punk rock runaway, I was living kind of on the street off and on, and in Harvard Square in Boston, in Cambridge, and they had this big bike regatta that had to do with the university, Harvard University, and there were porta potties all set up by the train station, which was Harvard Square train station, which is kind of where we all skateboarded and hung out.
That's where my sister actually works. She works in Harvard Square.
She knows.
That's a nice area.
It's a very nice area, and we loved, like, bumming change and being punk rock dirtbags hanging out at the train station. And they had these porta potties hanging out. And we noticed that it would be really, really funny that every time someone... It was 4th of July, burning hot, Boston, like, sticky. Lots of tourists. It was packed. The streets were packed. And so we're all hanging out. And we always thought it was very fun when someone got in a porta potty to jump near it and, like, knock on it and shake it. And that was really fun. And there was this one punk rock guy, kind of a burnout, named Starchild, who took a lot of acid in his youth. And he was, like, one of those guys who was, like, 46 years old but hung out with all, like, 16-year-old kids. Just one of those guys. And we would... this one guy got into the last porta potty, and he was wearing this great big... I just remember he had a a Hawaiian shirt on. He's kind of a heavier guy. Flipped us some lip. I get a job. Layabouts. Blah, blah, blah. You know, gets in the porta potty. So we give it a good shaking. And we jump down. We're like shaking and knocking on. He's like, hey, stop it. And then over our heads, Starchild had gotten on top of the train station, jumps from the top of the train station to the top of the porta potty, knocking it onto its door.
Oh my God.
It was like this three-level shockwave. We were like, oh my God, it fell. Oh my God, it fell on the door. Oh my God, what's coming out the bottom of it?
And he's locked inside because he fell on the door.
And the police were terrified to go near it because these awful chemicals
contaminants
and wads of brown and things coming out of
the biohazard. I mean,
oh my good God. And you hear this coming from inside and just then the smell rushed up and got us. It was horrible and wonderful and probably the worst thing I ever saw happen to anybody. They got him out finally, but no one, he was trying to press charges.
Oh, he never ate again.
Oh no, the police never went near him.
He's taking his meals intravenously to this day. And I gotta tell you this.
The worst thing ever.
He will never, how long ago was this?
This was when I was like, 16, 17.
He'll never forget that smell.
21 years, no.
You find him now, you just smell. Oh,
probably never. He's probably never used a porta potty.
He's probably just in the corner twitching. Well, I got to tell you, every time, and this is, I think a lot of people share this. By the way, you're listening to KCMD AM Portland, if you're curious. we're here with Storm Large. And we're going to talk to Jim Roop here in just a moment. Hey, Scotty. Tell Jim Roop, we'll get here in just a second. I'd like to hear Storm's thoughts on this, too, and then we got to do some other stuff.
So we'll wrap it up.
a billion things going on at once, of course. So we'll talk to Jim in just a second. But I got to tell you, I think it's a very common fear that whenever I get into, and I hate the phrase porta potty, and what's even worse, I thought that was bad until Honey Bucket.
That's
Honey
the worst.
Bucket.
Why? Honey Bucket. Honey Bucket makes me think of, you know, Yogi Bear and Honey Pots and Winnie the Pooh. Honey Bucket.
Not
something filled with feces and blue liquid.
Imagine.
And children's vomit and. Ugh.
And their sweet tears. Oh, your sweet tears. They taste like wine, Scott Tenorman.
I'll pee in a field before I go into one of those things.
I prefer outside as well.
You talked about that rose. You fell under a rose bush one time. You had that house, and there's a whole lot of squatting and falling.
That's fine.
But every time I am in a portable latrine, I have that fear that there's going to be some miscreants and I'm pushing over.
Because
you have to just go home and kill yourself.
I've seen it. I will never, not in the single ones. I'll get in the big handicap ones that have a big base or the ones they have at Rose Festival where they have
together.
It's a trailer kind of thing. Yeah. It's actually bathrooms. Yeah, that's the only way for me. Or I'm peeing in public. I don't care.
Well, because then, like, think about this. I mean, if that happens, how are you getting home? Ain't no bus going to put you on there. No cab driver going to pick you up. It's like the time my... Did I ever tell you about the time my dad fell through a cow?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Floating in the river.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's my free bird. That's one of my powers. If I was a music station, that'd be a gold.
That's the best. I'm going to use that line. I'm going to try to pick up a chick with that line. Hey, can I tell you a story about what time my dad fell through a cow? You're going to need a drink for this story.
That's my friends in low places. It comes up about every 90 minutes. Well, Jim's going to call back here in a second, so we should take this opportunity. You guys are at the Crystal day after tomorrow.
Yes, day after tomorrow. It is not quite yet sold out. It's pretty darn close, but we... about 100 tickets left, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a big rock star beverage mix it up contest. There's some great bands from all over town who I guess wrote a jingle for they had rock star the drink put up this track of music, and you can write your own music to it or whatever, and so all 9 finalists or something are going to be performing, as well as Storm and the Balls, your favorite local phenoms. So we will be there, and it will be wonderful.
Fantastic. Have you played Iceland? Are you going to play Iceland?
I'm going to play. I'm playing Magni's birthday party in Iceland for 5,000 people. That's
exciting.
Like a quarter of the population.
Is it Reykjavik?
It's in Reykjavik, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm so psyched. So
when is it?
It's November the 30th. I'm flying out of Boston on the 27th, and then rehearsing with the house band, Fabulous House Band, who we saw last week.
Oh, man, how great were those guys at Paul Stanley?
God.
And how great was he, by the way? I expected almost nothing from that show.
Me too.
You figured small venue, and he's not with Kiss, but it was
so awesome.
Loose and great.
He has a great personality on stage. I didn't know, you know, I didn't really have any expectations other than he was going to play probably at some point Strutter and at some point Detroit Rock City. And but, you know, he... I had heard from the house band that he was having issues with his voice and he had to get a tooth out or some root canal or something.
Yeah.
And so we'd had some health issues on the road, but Boy, what a cool guy.
Just, and he's, you know, and I have always really, he's always been kind of my guy.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you saw Bigger Than Jesus, you know that about
Absolutely.
80% of what I do, I just stole, flat out stole from that guy. He was great. This we had played the song DOA by Blood Rock earlier, which is this really creepy song about a plane crash, blah, 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 blah. The only reason I mention that is to say that I got an email from this woman. She says, I hate flying as much as cats hate to be pushed into a tub filled with water. And she was talking about how horrified she was that we played this song about the plane crash because Sarah from Puerto Rico, she's in San Juan, booked tickets to fly to Portland to see Storm in the Balls on Saturday.
Ah, excellent.
Her name is Sarah.
Wow.
I won't give her last name, but her name is Sarah. She's from Puerto Rico, and she said, how is the weather in Portland? Please tell me it doesn't go below the 70s.
Oh, Sarah.
So in the audience.
She's here tomorrow, so.
You will have somebody from San Juan in the audience to see you there. So.
Excellent. I'm so excited.
All right. Are you taking off? You say you got time to talk about O.J. Simpson?
Oh, I would love to, but I gotta go. Actually am going to a juvenile rehabilitation center to talk to some kids about music. It's going to be pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. With a heart of gold.
Well, you know, I have to fake it. No,
fantastic.
It's going to be cool. I'm actually really nervous about it, so I'm excited. But
what?
Play her song into the break.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, yes.
Well, this is Jim Roop. Do we have to take Jim before the break?
Well, we already missed one break. I'm about ready to miss the second.
I don't know what to do.
Can we take him in 15 minutes?
Shall we find... Well, he already had to call back. Hello, Jim Roop.
Oh, sorry.
I don't care. That's fine.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you,
sorry, Jim.
Sorry,
Jim, I don't want you to get cut short.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. You got to pay the bills or you don't have a show. You know
that's,
what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Jim Roop, because we've got to talk about O.J. Simpson, whose trip to hell is now assured.
Oh, I love
it. Can we call back or hang on?
We just got to take a break. You want to...
Jim, can you give Scotty your phone number and we can call you right after the break's done? So I don't want you to have to wait through it.
I don't mind. First of all, I love your sponsors.
God bless you, Jim.
Good man.
You are a good person.
Secondly, I don't care. I'll call back.
All right.
Okay, honey.
I'll tell you what. We'll come back with Jim Roop one way or the other. Also, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Storm in the Balls live at the Crystal Ballroom this Saturday. Tickets available at
TicketWeb or Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster
and at the door.
Oh.
Ooh. She says, adjusting her skirt.
My skirt's really.
I like it.
Thanks.
Makes your butt look good.
I can't top that, so we're going to go out with this. Ladies and gentlemen, Storm Large. There you go. Back after this, the Rick Emerson radio program. You stay there.
And you need a debt to get to her. And all the way.